Well, here in this country, we got news out of the Supreme Court today. The justices ruled that children of immigrants who were applying for a visa under their parents' name have to start the process all over again when they turn 21. For more on that and other cases out of the High Court today, we're joined from Washington by Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Well, let's start with this case. It involved the son of a Salvadoran immigrant who had been waiting for years with his mom to get a visa. Tell us more about the case.
Well, the key part is the "with his mom" phrase. So, yes, this man and his mother were waiting on a visa because the mother's mother was a U.S. citizen. And so the question is, if you wait a really long time in line and you age out, you become an adult, do you still get to get in? And what the Supreme Court said was that if you are the child of the person who tried to sponsor you, then the answer is yes. That's what Congress intended when it tried to solve this aging out problem in 2002. But if you are the child of the child, in other words, the grandchild of the immigrant, the person who is here, who is the citizen, then you don't get this preferred status.
And this was a 5-4 decision. It had a mix of conservative and liberal justices in both the opinion and the dissents. What did the opinion say?
Well, the majority opinion by Justice Kagan, which is joined by the conservatives, including Chief Justice Roberts and Antonin Scalia, this is based on a very careful reading of the statute. And the fight with the dissent is essentially this very technical questions of how to read these words and what Congress was intending. And then added on to that, the Supreme Court is supposed to give deference to federal agencies when they interpret laws. And so here the question is, was the Bureau of Immigration Appeals reasonable in how they were interpreting the statute? And Justice Kagan said, yes, that distinguishing between children of people who are here versus more distant relatives, grandchildren, is legitimate. And the issue is that you want to make sure the person who is already here intends to still sponsor the person who's trying to come in.
And it comes at a time, not in a vacuum, by the way, this ruling. Just this morning, we're reading stories about children crossing the border illegally in greater numbers than before. And of course, there is the question in Washington of whether at some point this summer the House is going to take up some form of immigration reform. Does this case and this ruling have any impact on the larger immigration issue?
It's relevant in that these are the people who are patiently waiting in line for legal immigration. And a lot of our discussion turns out to be about people who cross the border without permission, what to do about them once they're here. So these are sort of two different categories of immigrants. And one of the questions Congress always wrestles with is who is more deserving. These were the people who are waiting in line.
Okay. Another case out of the court today, Emily, involves a group of North Carolina homeowners who sued a company for contaminating their drinking water. Tell us about that case.
Well, this is a decision that really only a lawyer is going to like, because what's happening here is you have a North Carolina state law that says that you have to sue within 10 years of the last point at which the water is being contaminated. So a few years ago, Congress said, no, that's not enough time. We really want to give people more time, passed a law that should normally trump the state law. But this state law is not technically a statute of limitations. It's a different thing called a statute of repose. It dates from the end of the contamination rather than the beginning. And so the Supreme Court said that Congress did not intend to trump this kind of statute of repose state law, only the usual kind that's a statute of limitations. I mean, you can just tell from the way I'm talking about it, it doesn't sound terribly convincing or comforting to the property owners who now cannot sue for this kind of contamination.
Well, and was it a typical split among the justices on that case?
It was a more typical split, but Justice Kennedy's decision was joined by the conservatives and then also by Justices Sotomayor and Kagan. So we have a 7-2 here.
And how does that ruling affect other cases?
Well, there are a whole bunch of Marines who were hoping to sue for contamination at Camp Lejeune. And this is the same state, same statute in North Carolina. And so they are going to be out of luck as well.
Okay, Emily, there are the things that we find out about that the justices do. And then there are the things that we find out about on days like this that the justices decide not to do, not to take up cases. And one of them today had to do with tobacco settlements.
That's right. The big tobacco companies are unhappy about a ruling in Florida in which lots of people are going to be able to sue them. We're getting used to this litigation, right? That we know that cigarettes are damaging to health and that cigarette companies hid that for a number of years. But the cigarette companies, they just don't want to give up. And so here there's this kind of technical question about whether a previous ruling really showed that these particular brands of cigarettes and these companies were on the hook for these health problems. And the companies are trying to argue that that wasn't what the jury found. And the Supreme Court is just not interested in getting involved in this anymore.
Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate, with the latest from the Supreme Court today. Emily, thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
Never a dull day.
Not at the Supreme Court.
Well, coming up later on NPR, we'll take a look at what's happening in California. Lots of drought there, of course, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. There are some farmers who are paying almost 100 times more for irrigation water than other farmers. And they say it would be economically sensible to let farmers buy and sell that water, but local regulations and traditions limit such water sales. So we'll take a look at that later today on NPR. This is Here and Now.